You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Babysitter.
Welcome to the funniest podcast
whatever.
On the planet Earth.
I wouldn't want to.
This podcast has no rules.
You guys close.
The mic, asshole.
I've already said, should I regret?
Can I get a microphone?
No. What the fuck?
I always try to keep it like a comic hang. I have a bunch of guys on. It's just us sitting down and yapping. Sometimes it's hilarious. Sometimes it's intense. No topics. No directions. I love doing it.
Don't play both sides of the coin.
That's how a host does, you motherfucker.
I'm honored that you think my podcast is popular enough where I might affect somebody's life.
You never know.
It's Robert Kelly's You Know What Do podcast on riotcast.com.
What's up, everybody? It's your not-so-favorite fill-in host, second string, understudy. Bobby's got the sick. No, he's not sick. I said Bobby's got the sick, but he's not sick.
Yeah.
No.
No, family emergency.
His whole staff is here. Staff keeps growing. I mean, you know, I like this podcast because there's usually eight comics, and now there's...
Well, I am eating more.
Eight interns now. Are you guys still considered interns, or...?
I feel like we're, like, part-time interns, part-time staff.
Part-time
say producers.
Producers.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a producer.
Yeah. That's better.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's like a third mic.
Yeah.
He's kind of like a...
Guys, that's Rich
I'm
Voss.
I'm literally the third mic.
As if anyone doesn't... Your voice is...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like your calling card. People
yeah,
know.
Yeah, they know who I am. Yeah. Especially when I start slobbering. He's like a third mic hindrance. Would that be the good word? Yes.
Yeah, that's a good word.
And you wouldn't expect that word to come out of my mouth, hindrance.
I'm impressed.
Yeah,
you are impressed.
Yeah.
Well, today's it's an impressive day because there's just it's just me and Voss.
Pretty soon it's going to be just
it's going to be me because you want to eat your food and you he can't eat up here, right? Because
yeah.
Bobby almost killed me once for eating a souvlaki.
No one ever told
me
that. I was here that night. No one told me you can't eat up here. I never heard that.
Yeah, what's a rule?
That's Bobby's diet plan. So he goes for an hour and a half, I don't eat.
Yeah.
He made that rule.
Yeah.
But every time he bends down under the table, he takes a bite of a meatloaf. You don't see it.
I'm just holding it with my knees.
Yes.
Oh, it's lapless. Yeah.
That's why he pretends he drops something.
Yeah.
And he'll eat a chicken parm dinner by the time he looks back up.
Okay. Yeah, he used to do that. Now he can't bend over. He can't get.
Yeah.
He can't so he get down there. Yeah.
He has a long straw, and he'll drink a meatloaf milkshake.
That's the way he's got to do it now. Yeah, that's the way he's got to do it. Yeah, when Bobby got angry that day, I could really feel his childhood, his foster care coming out. Like he was, you know, but he'll take that foster care anger out on you.
But if you don't know you're not supposed to eat, why would somebody yell? Why wouldn't they go, "Hey, we don't allow eating up here," and you go, "Okay."
Yeah.
And well, not scream. Listen, you have asthma?
Yeah. Look at me.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Why do you have asthma?
Yeah,
you're a little overweight?
Yeah.
No, it's because my dad smoked while my mom was pregnant.
Oh.
Blame
is that?
The dad. Blame the dad.
I didn't even know that could happen.
Yeah. Well, that's.
My kids had asthma when they were young.
Yeah.
But they exercised their way out of it. So
for emergencies, but yeah.
Yeah.
I keep that in my when I was I think 21, I used to get high and stuff, but in the summer, for some reason I couldn't breathe the 1 week. I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
And I was trying everything. And everybody thought I was on heroin or something. I was just a pothead. But there was something.
That was when you were just a pothead?
Yeah, just a pothead.
It was before heroin.
And I never took heroin twice. But I got Primatene Mist, and then I was able to breathe.
Yeah.
It opened my lungs. But no one ever knew what the fuck it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it's just like an upper respiratory. I can't say that word.
But it is hard to breathe when you're heavier. Whenever I'm heavier, it's harder for me to breathe. Yeah. I snore more, you know?
For sure.
I snore every night, and I'm not heavy.
Yeah.
I snore. I have sleep apnea.
Well, that comes with the Jew thing, right, a little bit?
No, it's because the creep that lays next to me in bed makes me uncomfortable.
I snore bad, too, yeah.
So do I.
Yeah.
That's why I'm glad I'm married, because I can't pick up girls. They wouldn't put up with that.
No, it breaks a lot of people up, yeah.
We have a two-bed.
How come they haven't cured it yet? Isn't that weird that they haven't cured that?
Well, I'm not put.
It's fucking robots cleaning houses, but you can't cure snoring yet?
Yeah. You know, I fucking tried that sleep apnea mask.
Sleep apnea.
And it just dried. It worked two nights. Then I paid $1,000 for this thing you put in your mouth. It's like you're locked in, you know.
Oh, it's just a little hole right here,
no,
right?
No, not that one. I got that too. But the other one is metal that the dentist takes a mold and make. It costs $1,000 and mm-hmm. and it keeps the bottom jaw out in
yeah.
front.
Yeah.
And I put that on and I was having anxiety attacks.
Yeah.
Because I got my fucking mouth locked in.
Yeah.
So, and then I bought this little plastic thing that you just breathe through a little thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I spit that out by the end of the night. It's fucked up.
Do you actually have sleep apnea where you stop breathing or just, no?
No, I don't know. Sleep. I just, maybe.
Because you don't need the mask if you don't have sleep apnea.
Well, they said when I went to the sleep apnea clinic.
Yeah.
You know, they tell everybody because that's their business.
Yeah.
It's to sell, it's to get you to get you the machine, to get you whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to say, hey, you know. So they go, you have a little bit of it, you know. But I just snore and wake up. And I've always had a hard time breathing in life.
Yeah. Anxiety? Why?
Just
you're in shape. I mean.
Yeah, but I know. But I'm always, I get out of breath easily.
Right.
I guess I don't have a.
You used to smoke cigarettes a lot, too.
Yeah, but I probably don't have a big lung capacity. Or,
yeah.
When I, although when I went for a physical and you do the breathing, I don't know if you ever did this physical. You breathe, you suck in and breathe out. And a tree, it'll show how many leaves, and it'll tell you your lung capacity. And he always says, I do well.
Yeah. You get a full tree?
I don't think I get a full tree, but so enough
if
where.
If you have a good one, then what's the problem? How come you feel out of breath?
I don't know.
Maybe you're not breathing right.
Yeah, maybe anxiety.
Maybe you're just breathing from like here and not your gut.
Did you do any sports as a kid that builds up your lungs? Yeah.
Yeah, I used to play all the time.
Well, you know, it just sounds like maybe it's in your mind. Because if you just said they did the test and you have a good capacity. Well,
but I don't breathe through my nose. I breathe through my mouth. You breathe through your nose?
No, it's always clogged.
This is fucking, yeah, I know.
You had to test it right there. Like,
yeah, we started off hilarious.
Okay, here's the thing. This is riveting.
This is amazing.
Well, I'm glad I gave up talking to two hot girls downstairs in my salad.
Yeah, you can't even eat your food here. You got to just sit with it.
These two hot girls I was walking out go, you going on tonight? I got to go down and talk to them.
Yeah.
I have to before they leave. They're going to leave.
But you're married. You can't.
I can still talk to
you
them.
You still can't
my
talk.
My wife goes, you never flirt. You hate girls. I go, no, just you. But
you still got to drive? Because my drive's already down.
Oh, sex drive?
Yeah.
No, on the road when I get into a hotel, I do.
Yeah, and you just beat your meat.
I don't really call it that anymore. Yeah. I'm over 23.
Yeah. So what do you call it now?
What do I call
it? Yeah, what's the mature way to jack off?
What's that? I call it dessert.
Or do you actually call it masturbate now?
I just fucking, I call
technical
it.
Technical term?
You too old for slang?
I just hate myself. I call it ruining another fucking bath towel.
Use the bath towels.
Using that sock again.
Yeah.
So
that's like, why I air dry in hotels, because you just know. And that's why socialism won't work. You look at hotels, you look at public bathrooms, you see the way people treat shit they don't own. You're like, that's why socialism doesn't work.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That is.
And it's almost like people try to piss on the walls. It's like, it's not that hard to piss in a bowl. You go into a public restroom, it's just, there's piss. You're like, it's a river of piss in front of your feet.
Disgusting. I stopped in a gas station on the way here.
Yeah.
You know, and said, help wanted. And I wanted to go to the guy, what, to clean your bathrooms?
Yeah.
Disgusting.
How annoying is it in fucking
third world motherfuckers? What?
How annoying is it in Jersey? You live in Jersey, obviously.
Yeah.
How annoying is it in Jersey when you go to the gas station that you gotta like wait for the fucking guy and then tip him a dollar? You do?
It's the best thing.
It's the worst thing in the world.
No.
There's four cars. You gotta wait for him. This guy's juggling, and they gotta wait for him to come and remember yours, and then you hand him a dollar for slowing your process down.
Oh, I never tip them. Are you supposed to tip them?
No.
I feel bad if you don't tip them.
No.
Job.
It's creating jobs.
I
wrote a bit about that. You just reminded me, and I have that. The only thing good in Jersey is we don't have to pump our own gas.
Yeah.
And I remember saying there's people living in Hawaii going, you know, this weather is amazing. The ocean is beautiful, but I am so sick and tired of getting out of my car. Where can a couple go where we don't have to pump our own gas? Fucking Jersey. New Jersey.
So you like it? Do you really like it?
My polo, yeah, I don't want to get out in the fucking cold and do fucking
rain
manual labor. I'm a fucking headliner. Fucking pump my own gas.
So it makes you feel, it's a nice thing. You feel elite in Jersey.
When I travel on the road, I bring a homeless guy so he can just pump my gas in the other states.
Yeah, you don't want to get out. Yeah.
No, I don't
You don't
mind.
Feel like it slows you down, though? And you got to wait? When he, you know what I'm talking about? When he's pumping three other people, and then he puts yours in and he walks away, and then when it's done, you got
to
wait for him.
You went to a bad gas station.
No, it always happens in Jersey.
It depends where you go. If you go to Quick Check, there's like four guys there. But you know what? You sit in your car, you read your emails. And you know, and you want the common folk to work. You don't want, you know.
Yeah, I feel like that's it's a dumb job to keep around.
You're fucking trashing the guy who does this in the day. He's sitting right across from you.
They could at least like clean your window too. That
they
would
used
be
to
nice.
Do that. They used
that
to do
thing.
That.
That would be nice.
They used to do that.
Yeah. Now, what did Giuliani do to completely eliminate squeegee men? You would think that it would like make a comeback somehow, but it's just gone.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like he controlled it, but then like you would expect like people, even like after he came out of office, you'd expect some of the guys
just go back to the old business.
Yeah, squeegee men's might be before your day.
My parents talk about squeegee men all the time because they both worked in the city, drove in from New York.
Yeah,
and they said they just pissed in a button, bucket, and then squeegeed your car.
I mean, they got. Water.
It was water, but it was yeah. Water. They would but start squeezing, like, yeah. They wouldn't ask you. They would just start doing it.
Yeah.
And so you'd be like, fuck, and then you'd have to dig in and give them money. If
or you could hit them with your car.
You could hit them with your car as well. That used to happen. Yeah.
You'd hit them?
New York was like the Serengeti. New York was like the Serengeti. Yeah. It was a wild time.
It was a pain in the ass of so many. Yeah, I can see hustling, trying to make some money.
Yeah.
But if the person says yes, then that, no, then just move the fuck on.
Yeah, it was a real New York City hustle, though.
Yeah, it was.
That was.
You don't think it was happening in any other states?
Probably.
Chicago,
but
probably?
Now it's gone. Have you noticed it's just gone?
Completely gone.
How did it
they got a new scam.
Yeah, what is the new scam now?
I don't know.
That's interesting, right?
There got to be something.
I remember the scams used to happen all the time in New York City, too. Guy would come up to you and pretend like he knew you or knew your parents, and he'd just fish. And he got my parents once because my mother actually did go to law school with David Dinkins and knew him. And so this guy came up and convinced my parents that he was David Dinkins' son and that his car broke down. And they just ended up giving him $80.
What? Why? It just got to that point where they were like...
It's like, my car broke down. Yeah. And they just, you know, he just guessed right. Like, he just called, you know, what do they call that? Cold reading or whatever. He just was like...
A cold read, yeah.
Yeah, he got a hit, and he just... And my parents, you hear what you want to hear, you know, because my mom knew him, knew his sons, but didn't really remember what the sons looked like, because, you know, they were friends from so long. So it was the perfect... But this fucking guy probably convinced a lot of people that he was David Dinkins' son.
That's a strong narrative.
I was in Vegas Sunday night. No, Monday. Yeah.
In Vegas?
Early Monday
fucking
morning.
Fucking bragging again.
Early Monday morning.
He's a legend in the business.
Early Monday morning, I was filling the tank with gas. So I pull in the gas station. As I get some other guy gets out of his car. He comes in and he goes, hey, man, I go, no. Before he even got more than three words out, I went, no.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to hear your fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Whatever you're going to say, you just want to buy fucking crack or meth.
Yeah.
So shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you're a seasoned urban denizen.
You can read these motherfuckers. Like, if someone comes up to me in the street and says I'm hungry, I'll buy them a slice of pizza or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if they go, you know, hey, I need money for it. You want to eat something? Come on. Yeah. I'll get you something. And I'm not trying to be a good person. I'm not saying this. I ordered a pair of boots online.
Yeah.
I thought they were motorcycle boots. You know, they look nice online. I got them today. They're from China. They're almost plastic.
Right.
I mean, they're horrible.
Yeah.
So I put them in my car, and I'm just trying to find a homeless person that's that size. I don't want to walk around with them.
You want to sell them on eBay or anything?
No. Yeah. Just give them away and just forget. I take the loss.
Take the hit, yeah.
Take the hit. But, you know, because I get... Yeah,
wait maybe. A second. You wear motorcycle boots?
No, these were nice boots. So they would have been nice boots that you could wear with jeans.
Uh-huh.
You know, I got like four pairs of nice boots.
Yeah.
But I go, I was bored. I always buy stuff on fucking online
because
I get bored on the road.
Yeah.
And
but you're more of a sneaker guy. Anyway.
Yeah. But I got four pairs of Tims.
Yeah.
I got a pair of Tim's 2 years old. I haven't even worn them yet. I swear to God, I had a pair of Tim's that we did Bonnaroo when the first year it started, the comics. But I wasn't even married to Bonnie, so they're 13 years ago. And I wore them yesterday, last year for the first time. Yeah. I'm weird. Like sometimes I don't want to fucking wear them or fuck them up, but I just want to know I have them.
Yeah, I got
it. Is that
got,
crazy?
No, because I'm the same way. So you're talking to somebody who gets it. I mean, I have I have some pairs that I've worn once, some few I haven't even worn. Yeah. But you know, I downsized. I got rid of a lot.
How did you get rid of them?
I just gave them to Salvation Army. I'm trying to sell a few. Yeah.
Well, I took.
Because I just figured I'm never going to wear these, so what's the point?
I got tons of PF Flyers. They're like Converses, but they were before cons. And I had like two of every one. So I took like five and put them in like a Christmas where they were collecting shoes and stuff for kids for Christmas. And they were brand new.
Yeah.
So, you know, what the fuck? I'm not wearing them. But there's certain things that I hold on to that I know I'm going to wear.
Right.
Although I do have a bunch of Jordans that I won't wear.
Right.
Because they're worth $300, $400, $500. They're nice.
What do you want to happen to all your Jordans, you know, at the end when you die?
You know, I don't know. That's what I'm scared.
You have a will with you. I mean, you can't. You got to leave instructions on what to do.
I don't know because I got tons of golf clubs. I got a lot of valuable stuff that my stupid wife is going to fuck up and and. I mean, I got a set of clubs that are worth, one set's worth like almost 3,000. Now it's probably worth 1,500 because it's a couple of years old or 1,000. But she won't know what to do with my clubs.
Yeah, you may have to
my stamp collection, she won't know what to do with that.
You got a stamp collection.
You got a stamp collection?
Well, I years ago, I collected stamps years ago.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it's worth now. It's probably worth a couple grand.
Yeah.
You know, I have, you know, so I got stamps that I bought 20 years old that were probably already 20 years old or 30. So, you know, I might have stamps that are 50 years old, you know, so they could be worth, I could be worth whatever.
Yeah.
I sold all my old video games before I moved here.
You did?
Yeah.
Good on you, man.
Yeah, all my.
Well, you got a divorce, so you had to unload some of the stuff, right? Travel light, right?
But yeah.
I got
like $10,000 for like my NES stuff. Fuck,
really?
Yeah. Wow.
I got about 200 DVDs of, I mean, great movies. Sitting in my basement. What do I do with them? There's, you know,
those probably don't have as much worth as the stamps.
No, there's got to be a place that buys old DVDs.
I'm sure there are.
You know, I got fucking
online.
Every Sopranos season, and you know what I mean.
Those right now are like going for nothing. Like you can go on and like I'll get an entire DVD. They're like not worth shit right now.
Yeah.
Because,
you know what's going up right now? Like old VHS movies that never went to DVD or Blu-ray.
Really?
Yeah.
Who has a VHS?
Yeah, there's people who
I got one in my closet.
Yeah.
An old player.
Yeah. Especially those old shitty horror movies that never got changed over.
This is the most tame and relaxed and clean, you know what, dude, that's ever
calm.
Done. Yeah. So when you name this, just call it like the tamest.
It's like an ASMR episode.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think we've cursed yet.
No.
I don't remember one
curse word.
Fuck.
No way.
Cool. Fuck.
Cool. I'm a new comic. I don't
say
care.
Fuck, Zach.
I'm woke.
Yeah, it's woke time.
Cool.
You know what I was thinking when we were talking about the squeegee man and how you, right when the guy started talking in Vegas, you were like, not now. I did the same thing. What happened once. I hate when a homeless guy, when you're eating and one of the DVD guys or a homeless guy, if you're sitting outside, a homeless guy asks you for money. And I did the same thing, and I was mean immediately. I was like, come on, man. Like, I just was like, come on, man. And then he was like, he got a little attitude. I got a little attitude with him, and I got a little angry, and I was kind of, like, angry, so anything could have happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, he went to the next table after that, which was a mother and a daughter, and he asked for money. And I don't even know if she said no. She probably said no, but she did it politely. Whatever happened was polite, and he spit on her. And I felt bad because I felt like it was my fault because I was the one who riled him up and was mean to him, you know, the table before.
Oh, fuck.
And so I was like, you know, because he like displaced the anger. Because me, he probably felt like we would have been scrapping.
Yeah.
But he still had that anger and he spit on her.
But you cannot, you cannot take responsibility for somebody else's actions.
You think so? Because that situation feels like it was my fault.
No, it wasn't your fault. He's the one who spit.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't say he spit on
her. He's crazy. I mean, he was a crazy kid. He was a crazy kid. And he's down on his luck. Yeah, I mean, you can't. I should have known better than to. It just it irked me so much. It's something about it just irks. It's like,
yeah.
Because I give money and stuff, but it's like, come on, man. Yeah. Like, I'm sitting here eating. You know, we're sitting here eating. Like, I don't want to talk to you. You're in my fucking space. But it was one of those moments where you got to remember, like, this guy's fucking probably, you know, not probably. He has it horrible. Mm. He's probably a little mentally deranged or whatever. And I'm treating him like a regular guy doing something disrespectful. Mm. But you know what? You got to say, New York has less of a homeless problem than other cities. You notice the homeless are a lot less aggressive here than they are in like D.C. San Diego, they're aggressive.
Have you ever seen?
And it's because we set a few on fire. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
It's
one or two to let the word spread. Like, you don't. Yeah, it's like, look. Not saying you're going to get set on fire, but it sends a message like there's a line between, you know what I mean? The word gets out and it's like, because in New York, they don't know. New York, you don't know who you're fucking with. It's kind of thing. Like, you know, you always got to watch what you say and whatever because you don't know who you're fucking with. Mm-hmm. And homeless kind of know that they can't really get too aggressive because you don't know which one of them is going to set you on fire.
It's alternative fuel sources.
You just have to go to, every city has to set one or two on fire.
I'm trying to think.
Just to send a message.
That's so funny. I'm trying to think what city I was in. I don't know if it was Sacramento, but all along there was tents. I mean, it was like tents and homeless people all under underpasses. I mean,
it's LA.
Blocks and blocks. Well, LA too, but
yeah.
It was probably somewhere in California.
San Francisco is bad.
Yeah.
Seattle's, not Seattle, Vancouver's fucking horrible with all the meth addicts downtown and. Yeah. Oh, I'm just so sick of everybody.
Yeah.
You know,
some
that lady, you spit on that lady, you want to get up and just fucking knock him out. What can you do? You know what I mean? This lady's probably a tourist.
She was a nice lady with her daughter, with like a 4, 5, 6-year-old daughter or something. I still feel bad about it. And the guy scurried off quick. So, and I was sitting this way. So it kind of happened. I heard her reaction and he was just gone. And then I got to admit, part of me was like, he spit on her. So I wasn't going to go be a good citizen and risk my, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I'm not going to fight.
Like, she's going to knock you out.
I'm going to be honest. It's like, she got spit on. It's like, I'm not going to do anything.
You got to take it.
You might have a knife or some buck knife.
Yeah. I just let it happen.
I mean, okay, so she has hepatitis now, but at least you didn't get cut.
And that's what matters.
But the thing was, I just felt so bad that happened to her in front of like her kid and she was vulnerable like that. And I know that I created the energy that she paid for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just seemed like.
But what if, you don't know, maybe she's maybe when someone spits on her, she comes.
only if her daughter's there. That would be weird.
You know, like,
she's like, what are the chances all these things came together? Ah!
It's actually her husband. That's how they role play.
Yeah, that's how they role play. That would be fucking funny. Yeah.
Was her husband.
Yeah.
Honey, spit on me in public. You know, we have to do it in public.
Yeah.
Pick a fight with that guy first and then come over here and spit on me.
Only way she comes if the guy before her is aggressive with her.
You don't clean off the top of your cans.
No.
That fucking, you could die.
Why?
Rats pee on those in warehouses and then you get that disease.
You just hope.
They also shit in hats.
No, they don't. That's what you got. Shut up. Let us handle this.
It does happen on this podcast. You did do a good one and then you took another swing and it's just, that one was a little breaking ball. It just went into the dirt. But
okay.
I respect the swing.
Thank you.
Oh, you got to clean off the tops. I'm worried about you now.
But here's the deal. You got to admit, I haven't really truly been sick since 2015.
What?
Yeah.
Nothing.
And I think a part of that is New York, and they actually say this is true. New Yorkers get sick less because our immune systems are stronger because we probably encounter
bacteria all day.
All the time. Like, we're like super people because, like, the amount of rat piss that's in the city, you're right, it gets on everything. And it's like infested with bacteria. And we just have built up these super immune systems.
I clean off. Listen, before I go down on my wife, I fucking power wash her pussy in case a rat pissed on it.
Yeah, you got to be careful of that, right? Never tell you that.
I keep a power washer.
Yeah, they never tell you that. It's a bunch of other stuff, but you never really think about the rat that might have got there.
I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying?
I truly did not see that one coming. That was funny. Yeah. Oh, poor Bonnie. You guys got the greatest relationship. It's yes, like admirable how you just shit on each other.
Oh, yeah, constantly.
It's hilarious. It is so fucking funny.
Yeah. She's cool.
Yeah. You guys got a great relationship.
Yeah.
13 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to get past my resentment, harboring my resentment that she's doing all these Comedy Central tapings and I only got one. I got one. I did 35 tough crowds. I think I know what I'm doing.
You guys deal with it well.
No,
you deal
I know.
With it well. Yeah.
She's so brilliant. And you know what
she's
I mean?
She's one of my favorite comics.
Thank you.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Why are you saying thing? I'm talking about her.
Yeah, I know, but I wouldn't have married a bad comic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's great. She's actually one of my... She's just so fucking funny.
It's unreal.
And on and off stage, which is always like...
I heard she had a good time up here with Jared last week.
What happened?
I was not there.
There was a little bit of a run-in. He said something. She kind of shut him down. It was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And then he
did it get serious?
No, it's fun, but I mean...
But she's such a... Like, she's so mean. Like, and this, he said something, she goes, disagree with it, goes, that's fucking stupid. Apologize or something. And then he goes, oh, maybe this isn't the right time. Maybe I'll leave. And she goes, are we just a little baby going to leave? But people don't get her, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is, it's such a male... male business that when a lady comic is that aggressive like we are, ooh, who the fuck does she think she is? She's a cunt. But no, she's a comic. So if you could take, you know what I mean? If I did that to him, he would laugh or just fucking.
But nobody thinks she's a cunt or mean. Everyone thinks she's just funny.
No, new comics. No, there's comics that see if. Yes, comics that have been around that know comedy.
Yeah.
But these new comics that are very thin skinned.
Yeah.
And they're not used to
funny people.
Yeah. And when it comes from a lady, you're like, who's this bitch?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah,
and other lady comics even are like that.
Yeah.
You know,
I
was sitting at the table last night.
I like that you're calling them lady comics.
Yeah. He started saying female and then.
My body said don't say female for some reason.
You're just struggling. You get to a certain age, you're struggling to find what the right word is. He's going to start calling them broads. And they're broad comics. A couple of broad comics.
Skirts.
Well, there
couple
was a
couple of
comic.
Dames got up. They told a couple jokes.
There was a comic. Last night I said how Bonnie helps a lot of female comics. And she goes, made it. I rolled.
What?
I rolled like, and I go, what? She's never helped me, and which she has. And one... Just because she hasn't helped you doesn't mean she hasn't helped female comics. She's very pro-female comic.
I'm obsessed with Bonnie.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you want to taste a little of her, let me tell you.
I knew that one was coming.
Right when that came out of my mouth, I was like, ugh.
That one's coming.
Wait till you see what else comes out of it. a little bit of a... So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's pro. She's a feminist.
Yeah.
But she sees the hypocrisy amongst
She's a
people.
Normal person. Yes. Yeah. You don't feel like you're dealing with a zealot.
Yeah.
That's the thing now. I mean, it's like, it's okay to disagree. It used to be people could just kind of disagree, but now you feel like you're talking to a zealot where they just are like,
What's a zealot?
Zealot is someone who's just like, thinks in absolutes and is like fanatical.
They're extreme.
It's like, you're like, no, you say one thing, like you hate women. You're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Fucking, I said, well, we're talking about one issue. We may have a slight disagreement again. You jump right to, it's like, I hate women. You're like,
just that.
Both parties have been hijacked by extremists.
Too. And people, too, are a little
affected
by
both political parties have been hijacked by extremists. There's no such thing as moderation. If you're a moderate, then they both look at you like you're fucking a pussy.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't take a side, the other day I went on Facebook and I went after, Trump about a couple of things. I was pissed off. And people write, you're a comic, stay out of politics. And then one, I said, one, I could talk whatever I want. But two, I go, I wasn't talking politics. I go, I didn't bring up pro-life, pro-choice. I didn't bring up the environment. I didn't bring up the economy. I just said, I don't like this person.
Yeah.
So that's not talking politics.
Yeah.
Just because, if you didn't like Bush, and you said it, the whole world didn't come down on you like they want to burn your house down.
Yeah.
But if you don't like Trump,
yeah.
they're thinking, you, what the fuck are you? Anti-American, you're anti-this, anti-that. Yeah. Go mm-hmm. fuck yourselves. Yeah. He's not a good person in my opinion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying the whole Republican Party's fucked up.
Yeah.
I'm saying I don't like this man.
Yeah. yeah.
So, you know, it's just they're so brainwashed and so hypnotized by this fucking snake oil salesman.
Yeah.
You know, and it's fucking ridiculous.
He's entertaining as fuck, though. You got to admit.
He's been on a roast for 2 years, but yeah. he's the fucking president.
I know.
Okay?
I know. It's sad, but I mean, I don't know if we're going back to normal after this.
He started to look like the guy from Mighty Python, another wafer-thin mincer. Yeah. No. If I eat another, I'll explode.
But can you... I think the seal's been broken at this point. Yeah, we can't go back to normal. Can you imagine, like... a normal Yale-educated former senator running for office. Now he gets up to speak. We're all just going to be like, boring. Like, are you fucking a porn star?
Yeah.
It's like, can you threaten nuclear war on Twitter? Get my adrenaline going a little bit.
Here's what I want to come. I thought about this in the car. I got to write
something. The guy's a star. You got to admit, he moves tickets.
Yeah, he hits bonus, but I have my new
premise. He's a good heel, like in wrestling.
Here's my premise. Yeah. Here's my new premise, and maybe I'll write something about
that
it. But you know how people, like they just said that they saw spaceships, a couple different airlines, I think in Ireland or somewhere. But I think the thing
what
is-
What news are you getting? InfoWars?
Yeah, this is true. Look at it.
Really?
Three or four.
BBC.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
So what I think it is- we're just a board game for aliens right now.
Yeah.
And somebody had to go back three spaces and Trump.
Yeah.
We're a draw four and Uno now.
You know, we're just a board game.
That's become a popular theory. The simulators. Like simulators and we're all in a video game and we're kind of, it kind of seems like it could be true because it seems like this thing is set up as a game. Especially when you think about like the protein that life needs to survive is in the flesh of other animals. It almost, that's like, whoever set this up was a little sadistic. It's almost like the Hunger Games. It's like, all right, you guys go have at it. See if you can figure it out. But what keeps you alive is in the flesh of that thing.
Good luck.
You have to kill. Good luck. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know who's on top of it? Mortimer and...
From Trading Places?
Yeah,
Mortimer and...
No, but...
One of the most underrated... Not underrated, people love it, but I'd say probably top comedy movie, would you say?
Easily. Trading Places?
Yeah, maybe top three?
The only scene I didn't like was on the train with the gorilla. That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
That was the only scene. But, and I watched it again the other night. The funniest scene in a movie to me was the stuttering lawyer, My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, yeah.
That one scene where the jury is staring at the stutter. You don't know that scene?
Can we pull that up?
Yeah.
It's
Mortimer and Randolph.
Huh?
Mortimer and Randolph.
Thank you. This scene is the funniest. Wait, I got to hear it. Are you going to play it?
I can, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to play it out.
Let me find it. Stuttering lawyer. Yeah.
It's so fucking funny here.
All right.
How do I turn this up?
Oh, that's in front of you. The little knob right there. Or which ones do you have?
It's not working.
All right.
It hasn't
changed. That's not, here we go.
Wait.
Still can't hear it. All right.
Check the computer. Oh, they turned it off from there.
I fucking idiot. Can you hear that?
No, it's on.
Yeah.
How come we can't hear it?
It's fine.
This is not working.
Are you guys?
You got to hit play.
Yeah. This is when you wish Bobby was here. Get a little bit of that foster care anger out.
Wait. Okay. Wait. It's time to make you open the state. Can the people at home hear it? Come
on, man.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll put it in post.
But you'll have to sync it up and everything, on it.
That's what we have to do anyway.
All right.
Everything that guy just said is bullshit. Thank you. Objection, okay. Your Honor.
This is
counsel's entire opening statement is argument. Objection sustained. The entire opening statement, with the exception of thank you, will be stricken from the record.
I love
the jury will please disregard counsel's entire opening statement.
Wait to see the black guy's face in the jury.
You will not use that kind of language in my court. You understand me? Yeah.
Fred Gwynn. Okay.
Counselor, your statement, sir.
I don't.
I love the commentary.
Rich is laughing already.
It's so wait to see the black guy's face.
Well, now, I need some gentlemen of the
oh God, why are disabilities so funny?
Funny in an eye patch.
On January 4th, this year, my time to visit the Sacrosanct. Convenience.
It's underrated. Nobody talks about that scene, huh? Yeah.
This is wait. It's real quick.
Cure anyone. We intend to prove that the prosecution's case is circumstantial. Coincidental. Thank you.
What? It goes back to the kid.
That's it. What about everything we talked about? Well, I get a little nervous.
Ralph Macchio. This movie was a big hit.
Yeah.
This movie was a big hit. Not Ralph Macchio.
She won an Oscar for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marissa Tomei.
That put her on the map. Yeah. So I'm saying, how come... that's Ralph Macchio, right?
Yeah.
That wasn't the other guy in there. Is.
Yeah, Ralph Macchio was in that movie. Ralph Macchio's career at that time was fucking in the dips, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. How come that didn't bring him... How come he never had another go?
I don't know.
Till now.
What's
till
he
Karate
up to?
Kid 2. It's a fucking big hit on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
Cobra Kai.
I mean, the kid was just destined to play, to be the Karate Kid.
And no one else.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he chose to do something else. A lot of people, you know.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Leave the business. Maybe it was his to sit, you know, just maybe he just thought, maybe he wanted that.
Yeah. You can't have a stutter. If you had a stutter, that would be too much.
A stutter and a lisp.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Oh, too much.
I'd
spit the whole way. Be like Gallagher. I'd have to pass out raincoats.
Like at SeaWorld front row.
I almost respect Gallagher more that. Whenever someone is able to have a successful career doing something like that, you almost got to respect the hustle a little bit. Well, this guy went and smashed a watermelon and was able to like sell out, and you got to respect that hustle. Whenever I see someone who's truly not funny and they have a big comedy career, part of me goes like, I respect the hustle. Well, however you did it, I respect it.
His brother did it too, Gallagher too.
Yeah, he stole his act, right?
My friend said, Gallagher 2, audience nothing. But yeah, he stole his act.
He was an identical twin.
I was in Vegas the last time I was there, and I went over to Laugh Factory, and they have a little party on the Saturday, karaoke and stuff.
Yeah.
And Gallagher 2, I mean Gallagher, the real Gallagher, I said something to another comic.
Yeah.
He goes, what are you, practicing material? I go, no, what are you kidding me? But I didn't go after him and call him a carnival act. I said, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
He's a real asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a dick. I go, you're fucking, you got a sledgehammer, you fucking.
Yeah.
I heard he invested a lot of money in Ninja Turtles.
Really?
I heard he's like one of the original investors.
And he still was a dick.
Yeah, look that up. Can you look that up?
Look that up. Sounds weird.
Money doesn't make you happy. Yeah. You seem really happy to me. Yeah, you do.
No, at times when I'm doing what I like to do,
Yeah, but you seem balanced and happy and kind of like down. Because a lot of comics, when you get older, right? I just feel like if you've been in the business a while, you see a lot of people who get a little bitter and. Seem kind of like.
Well, I try to stay relevant.
Yeah.
A lot of guys don't.
If they're still relevant, there's like a twinge of.
No,
bitter.
I'm not angry. At times I get frustrated.
Right.
There's a difference between anger, because I love doing comedy. But I still love doing it.
Is there something about like prioritizing your life where comedy is the job, but your real fulfillment comes from family and things like that that keeps you happy?
I mean,
or is it just sneakers or what is it?
I don't know. I guess it's everything combined, you know, certain time. I mean, when my older daughters used to play basketball in school and I used to go to their games, it was the greatest. Like, you know, watching my kids, you know, my daughter now, she brings a lot of enjoyment besides stress, but she's, you know, just so funny and cute and, yeah. You know, so there is, yeah.
You think she's going to be a comic with least, those jeans?
Huh?
You think she'll be
no,
a comic?
No, better not.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm very responsible, so that keeps me balanced. So when I was a drug addict, I had no responsibility. My responsibility was to get drugs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, you know, I have to... Besides Bonnie's help and together, the foundation, the wheel to keep the fucking everything turning. So that kind of keeps me going. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It kind of keeps me going. Yeah. Like today I sign up for, you know, I have to re-up for health insurance January 1st.
Yeah, I got to do that too.
$22,000 a year. $22,000.
For the kids, for everybody.
For my wife my, and a kid. That's yeah. Still... Jersey's like the second highest.
Jesus.
It's $1,800 a month.
Yeah.
So I was getting stressed and I go, you know what? It's just one fucking gig.
That's right.
It's one gig.
Yeah.
You know, and because I could have went for a $1,400 plan.
Yeah.
But that would have brought me more stress.
Yeah.
For what I, you know what I mean? So that, I guess my happiness is coming from where I was when I was doing drugs to where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. that
you gain perspective because of that. Because like you say to yourself, if I'm not there, things are good.
No. I don't understand.
In other words, like it get things were so bad that it
were get, so,
that well, you don't stress I, yeah. over things like that anymore.
Well, I stress. The only thing I stress about in this business is.
Does that beg the question that the only way to find peace is to fucking go through hell and like do drugs?
No. I mean, it's because there's people that. Were drug addicts that came from great families, money, and had everything. I mean, I was poor and, you know, divorced family, but the only thing that really stresses me right now is aging out in this business and getting scared. Well, what happens if I stop getting work? What am I going to do? You know, because I have a big nut,
right.
You know, and there's comics that will come into clubs. They're going to come in for half the price or... 2/3 of the price,
right.
And club owners just go for a quick fix. They don't give a fuck how funny you are.
Right.
Because when it comes to funny, I'm at the funniest I've ever been in my life.
Right.
So they don't care about that. They just care about numbers and drinks. And so you're going, they're going, well, you know, he's been around the circuit for this many years. Let's bring this guy. You know what I mean? So it's harder, even though I work all the time, it's harder now. But something else is going to come along in my career. It always does. Something comes along and you regain heat.
That's so, probably this fear everyone has in every business when you just start to get up there. You've been doing it for a while, you know?
And it's
what's
it's,
the solution for that?
Well, it's so weird because 12-step, and I've said this before on podcasts, fear stands for false evidence appearing real. Half the time you're in fear. It's just craziness in your head that you've convinced yourself of something that's not really happening.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I've been on my own my whole life. You know what I mean? I've done everything myself. You know, I've had managers, but you know, I've gotten stuff in this business because I, who I am in hustling, you know what I mean? So at some point you just need to take it easy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard to explain, but I love doing what I do. So when all the bullshit is done, when I'm on stage, I love doing that. I love doing, I love creating and I love coming up with comedy.
But you also have other passions too.
Oh yeah. I play golf.
So is that part of it?
Yeah.
Because you love golf.
I was just in Vegas. Yeah. This guy took me to his golf course.
Yeah.
If I had to pay, it would have cost me $500 to play this course.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
I meet people around the country.
Yeah.
I played golf with this lady who I became friends with, we were having lunch and she said, my father won 5 Oscars. And it's her father's John Williams, the composer. I make friends around the country and it's from golf and, yeah. and being on radio or podcast and good, you know, I mean, when I had my roast, I have a couple of them flew in, a couple club owners that I really like, you know, Corey from Rhode Island, Mark Eppolito from, Rochester, you know, from Long Island, Jimmy from Governors. So yeah, there is club owners, like there's people, I make friends. Yeah, I have passions. I play golf. I don't know. I exercise. I go to the gym every day.
You got a 16-pack.
You know, I could lose 10 pounds now.
Yeah, but you got a 6-pack.
Not really. I mean, a little.
As good as it can get. Yeah. I think there gets to an age where you get the 6-pack on a gut. Like, you know, I'm past that age too, where it's like even when I get in shape, it's like there's always a little round here. I'm never going to be jacked.
Well,
again.
The thing for me is too, I got so much muscle there that it's sticking out.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it is.
Too jacked.
Yeah. You got a jacked stomach. Does Bonnie like that? Does Bonnie like that? Or there's just nothing?
Yeah. I mean, she's, you know, 13 years. What is she like?
Yeah.
Yeah. A good TV show. The only thing is about this business, you get obsessed with this business.
Yeah.
It's hard to detach because it's not like I go on vacations. My vacation is this business. I'm all, you know what I mean? So it's hard to detach and you're in a business where you're dealing with rejection on a daily basis a lot. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, fuck
so, you know, so you gotta, you know, and I don't have, I'm not gonna go out and fill the emptiness with drinking and partying, you know what I mean? It's a tough business to balance. It really is to, you know, and it's a self-centered business. You know, addiction is a self-centered disease, but also too, this is, you know, you're on the phone. If you're selling yourself, you know, if you don't have my manager does some stuff, but if you're selling yourself, it sounds so self-centered. You got to sit there and go, me, me, me. Yeah. And you feel like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a very selfish, self-centered business.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's you. You're on the line.
Yeah.
Even when you're at the table or amongst comics, you know what I mean? It's... Yeah. Hey, what's going on with me or what's going on with it? You know what I'm saying?
Right. So do you think it's important to have escapes from that?
Oh, you got to.
You got to, right?
You got to. You know, to me, playing golf and going to the gym is my escape.
Yeah.
You know, and my kids.
Yeah.
Obviously, but my daughters are older, so they're gone. Yeah. You know what I mean? They got their own lives.
Yeah.
Once in a while, they'll come by and I'll take all my daughters out to dinner. And it's a great, you know, that's a good feeling. You're sitting there with your 3 daughters having dinner.
Yeah.
You know, or it'll come to the house, or I call them. My one daughter has such a great sense of humor, you know. And
which one? The young one?
The middle one.
Middle.
Yeah. She, just so, you know, she gets it. So, yeah, you got to have other things. Like, I know comics. Like, when I go on the road, like, if I'm not playing golf, I'll go to the archery range and, you know, and bring my bow and stuff.
So you do that too?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's what.
You have hobby. You have like hobbies that you're.
Yeah.
The thing that's made me nervous is, you see, I think being single has something to do. Cause like it gets to a point, like if you're single, it's a little weird, no? If you're just like, if you're doing comedy and you're like, you're not coming home to anything, that's probably not healthy after
an empty apartment.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you start to get into your 40s and your 50s. You're like, what am I doing? You're hanging out at a bar and that seems to be. So maybe there's something in that, in the having a family, like people used to do.
Well, no, listen, in life, it's so another thing. You can't keep what you got unless you give it away. And maybe with family, but also maybe with your comedy, too. You know,
that one sounds confusing, what you just said. You can't keep
what you got unless you give it away. Because if you got it all yourself, you're not sharing it. You're not giving it away.
Right.
Same with, you know. Say you do an album.
Yeah.
that's part of your legacy. That's part of what you're giving away.
Right.
You know, when all is said and done and you're gone, your stuff will still be out there.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
So with your kids, say you don't have kids and it's now, but say you have kids, the fact that you raised them and you built their foundation from what you learned in life is what you gave to them.
Right.
You can't keep what you got in life unless you give it back.
This whole system in America is set up different than that. It's like keep getting for yourself. Maybe that's why so many people are so happy. They don't have that. Because I've never heard that adage. I've never heard that.
But and if
that
you makes, think about
that,
it.
That's what I'm saying. When you think about it, it's like if you, that makes sense.
If yeah. you were at a table, if you were sitting down and they brought you 3 turkeys or whatever, would you be happy?
You're saying this to me, not Mike Suarez, right? Because no. he licked just his lips 3 times.
Maybe like, this isn't the right example.
Because he would go, I'm eating all 3 turkeys.
Maybe this isn't the right example.
No, it's good. Yeah, 3 turkeys.
Well, whatever. Yeah. And you could go, well, I could keep these turkeys for 3 months and eat them myself.
It's seasonally appropriate, this example, since from Thanksgiving.
Or you could sit, and wouldn't you feel better feeding a bunch of people with a... You can't keep what you got in life unless you give it away.
Or I could carve it up and sell it at a profit. Like if I got the turkey for like $1, you know, $7 and send a couple slices.
Okay, that's human nature is greed.
$1.15.
The old turkey hustle.
Yeah.
Maybe that was a bad example.
No, it's a good example.
No, it's not a good example. It's not. Right, say you have 3 meatloafs.
Do girls. Let's see if you can think of a good 3 girls.
3 girls.
Hot. They're all hot?
They're all hot.
Okay.
And one of your friends comes by. You're all single.
I'm keeping all 3.
Okay, so you disappoint 3. Wouldn't you rather disappoint 2? Wouldn't you rather disappoint 2?
Yeah, I don't think I'm concerned if they're disappointed. I'm going to keep all 3.
Think about it. You can't keep what you got unless you give it away.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you do in comedy. You're giving away your creativity, what you think.
That's when it works best, when you're open, you're giving it away. You're right.
You're making an audience forget their bullshit for an hour while they're laughing, and you're giving something back.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And everybody that does anything, you know, the guy who's working on the electrical lines is giving something back.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Giving something to society,
yes.
serving yes. other people.
You're giving back.
Yeah, you're part of, you're useful. You're a useful human being.
Yes, you're giving back.
So maybe the happiness comes from the self-esteem that comes from knowing that you're useful because you're giving something to the greater good.
Yeah, and plus as an artist, as an entertainer, your creativity, you know, that's your creativity that you're giving to people that probably don't even think the way you think.
Right.
And they're going, oh, fuck. And they're laughing and they're having a good time. And you know, after a good set, when you're really on, how you feel after that. Well, they're walking out feeling great too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going, hey, man, that was a good show.
Yeah.
You see, that's it. I'm not trying to be some preacher or some fucking philosopher.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. There's many times I leave a gig with tears coming down going, oh, fuck, I sold 30 seats.
Yeah, those are always tough. Yeah.
They fucking curtained off the first row.
Yeah.
You know.
The best is when they try to make you feel like it's because there's a festival in town.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's normally what it is the high school's having a pumpkin sale. And, you know, otherwise, I don't know what it is. It's maybe the weather, you know. It's outside, so.
Football team is
sick. I'm an asshole. Yeah. I don't make sense.
There's clouds out there.
I do have certain balances.
Yeah.
I do, you know, I got a family.
Yeah.
I got 3 kids. So, you know, so far, 2 of them went through college. Yeah. One's getting married. None of them been in jail.
Yeah.
You know, so I my ex-wife and I had to do something right.
Yeah.
You know.
You guys get along?
Oh, yeah. We always got along. We just, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like the real success in life, though.
We were friends. My ex-wife used to babysit my daughter, Raina, when she lived by me.
That's awesome.
You know,
that's
amazing. I live 2 miles. This is guys talking. I live 2 miles from my ex-wife because I wanted to be close to my kids.
Yeah.
You know, and then Bonnie and I, you know, we would go over her. She was remarried. We'd go over her house to barbecue, whatever. What the fuck? Yeah. It's easier to get along with somebody than to fight with somebody.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. It's good that she thought that way, too.
Yeah.
So that you were, you know, because sometimes it's one person wants it and the other person just can't get over it.
Yeah.
So that's just lucky that that went that way.
Oh, fucking my.
Well, name. I feel like you're a happy, successful guy. I think that's what I think it's like the. Happy, it's succeeding in life is not just dollars. It can't just be dollars. Because you see these guys who are ultra famous, you could tell they're miserable, and a lot of them fucking blow, some of them, not a lot of them, but blow their fucking brains out.
Not only that.
I mean, Anthony Bourdain, you're like, what?
Yeah.
He killed himself.
Look, I know one thing, and it sounds arrogant, or I'd rather have respect for my peers than give a fuck about what the industry thinks.
Me too.
Because my peers know comedy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I work for the, you know, Colin is a well-respected, you know what I mean?
Legend.
You know.
He's so, a peer of yours, but for the younger guy, he's one of the greats.
Yeah. He's, and if you can gain respect from your peers, you know, it's then you did something right.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather have comics in the back laughing.
Yeah.
Then and you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean.
And and you know, and I know, and there's another thing I know. I'm not a hack. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's, you know.
I would rather be happy than famous. If it comes down to it, I would take, and I know there's no like constant state of happiness, but there is sort of a state of like peacefulness and perspective.
Yeah.
I would take that. If I could survive and continue to do this, which I love, I would take that over like super fucking, I really would. I'm not just saying that. I mean that.
No, no. Because
that makes sense.
Yes.
It just kind of makes sense. Yeah.
What? Look.
Especially if now you got to watch what you say if you're fucking famous. Yeah. And like,
it's too much.
I wouldn't mind being financially secure where I didn't have to worry about finance.
That's always helpful, yeah.
You know, if it came down to selling 3 TV shows that I couldn't be on, I don't give a fuck now.
Yeah.
Because financially, you know what I mean?
Right.
There was a time in my career where I want to be on the show.
Right.
But if we sold show, you know what I mean?
Right.
So finance puts stress in your life.
Right.
So if I was financially secure, which I do all right.
Yeah.
I would take that over fame.
Right.
I mean, you know, big deal.
Right.
I still get to be funny and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I don't.
Fame doesn't seem like it makes people happy.
No, it doesn't.
Them,
it
makes, like, paranoid and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you think everybody is coming after you for something. Yeah. Everybody wants something.
Yeah.
You know,
a nice jacket.
Oh, thanks.
I like the way you dress, generally. He generally dresses really fucking cool. You dress like a cool person. That's a nice jacket.
I try to match. See the gray?
Yeah.
Gray.
Well, no one can hear you now, Rich.
Yeah.
Oh, I try to match. That's all I try. That's all I want in life is to match my clothing.
Yeah.
I got to go do a spot downstairs. This was one of the best podcasts. Just remember, folks, you can't keep what you got unless you give it away. And one way to do that is to go to vossroast.com and buy my fucking roast.
Yeah.
It's an awesome roast.
Rich Voss, everybody. The great Rich Voss.
Plug your dates real quick.
Oh, shit. Look at all these
fuck my dates. Okay, this Saturday I'll be at Laugh It Up, but next weekend I'll be at the Comedy Connection in Rhode Island. Go to richvoss.com for all my dates. Believe me, if you see me live, you will not leave unhappy.
There it is.
Is that the way?
Yeah, sure. Right. They know. Yeah. Everybody listening to this knows you. Go see Rich Voss. Thanks, Rich.
He's the best.
I mean, what would we have done if Voss didn't show up? Take care, Rich.
Truly, this just was been us.
That was a
strange
pod.
And we still got time.
So
we just talk. We'll talk amongst ourselves.
Yeah,
are you guys happy working for Bobby?
Now that we're on the spot.
Some inside baseball right
here. How much overseeing does he, maybe we'll give the people a little insight into the workings of, you know what, dude. I've been doing this show since 2012.
Yeah.
So I'm a veteran.
You're the true veteran
True veteran, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what have you noticed is different? Because you've been with all the crews. You've been with just him. Kelly and Scopa.
When I came in, it was Kelly was there, I think, at the beginning. Well, what's changed is the studio. I mean, it went from that wooden table, which was fun, to this fucking Darth Vader spaceship setup. Bobby sits in his imperious chair here like a judge. And we're all sitting there acting for mercy. God forbid our phone goes off.
Or you have a fucking...
Or a souvlaki.
A slice of... Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and then he gets mad. Bobby's... Yeah. I love... He's one of my favorite people in the world. Yeah.
Oh, he's the best.
So why is Chris Italia... information up there. Oh, because that's his website.
Yeah.
Oh, he's still with those guys. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he didn't update it.
Maybe he just didn't update it.
Yeah. Oh, that Gallagher thing he was talking about. Gallagher went on Mark Maron a while ago, interview where everyone found out he was kind of a crazy racist.
Yeah.
And he just like said that he owned the Ninja Turtles at one point, but he never actually did, apparently. He just kind of said a bunch of shit
So Gallagher is out of his mind a little bit, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, he's crazy.
You know, it was wild because I remember as a kid, before I even knew anything about comedy, really, I remember seeing, like, his specials would be on. Like, he was super fucking famous.
Yeah, huge.
The big couch one.
I mean, he was super fucking famous. He was, like, one of those comedians who you just kind of knew somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And
he was synonymous with comedy at one point. It was really weird.
Yeah.
Because him and George Carlin would have, like, yearly HBO specials.
Yeah. And then that's what it was, right? HBO. Because that was like before even Comedy Central was it really a thing. It was like Gallagher, Carlin. Yeah, I didn't even really know what stand-up was, I feel like, when I kind of knew who Gallagher was.
Who he was.
And then one night I was doing just like a set at Gotham, I remember. It must have been a Tuesday or something. There was just nobody in the crowd. Maybe a Monday. It was just one of those rare light. You know, club's always got good people, a good amount of people in there. And Gallagher was there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just wild.
Why?
Because it's kind of that thing that we're talking about. Like, you know, like his brother and he had massive fame and success, but he didn't seem happy. It wasn't that he was performing in an empty crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his brother fucking hate each other, right?
Yeah.
He sued his brother.
Yeah.
It just, he didn't have an aura of like, you know, being okay.
No, you know what I'm saying? He seems like he's like a little sick.
He had an aura of like, it was like a little sad. Not that he was there on an empty night, but maybe a little bit. Yeah, maybe I'm just being honest.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe it's just like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, this is up and down.
But think about how many sacrifices it takes to get that famous, and then you're there and you're like, oh, fuck, maybe I should have just
done
some simple things.
You're right. A lot of the people who get really famous, you do have to make a lot of compromises to give. There's that rare where it's just like talent and like that happens. But then there's those other people you can kind of be like, you could see they kind of compromise who they were a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he compromised anything. I think Gallagher just kind of just.
Maybe he just wanted to smash watermelons.
Yeah. And that's okay. He would talk a lot of like, he had a lot of words that he would say. You know, it wasn't just like an hour of smashing watermelons every time.
Well, either that or bouncing on a huge couch. I remember that.
And some of the things he said, like, if you go back and listen to him, I'm like, oh, that still kind of holds up.
Yeah, I mean,
but
I hate
those. He himself has become a crazy person.
Yeah.
Because like, I met him in San Antonio. I was working with Kevin Nealon.
Yeah.
Gallagher was doing a corporate event for a watermelon festival.
Yeah.
And
came to the comedy club and was wandered in and just kept bothering people about some cartoon show he was trying to pitch about horses that would teach history.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's more of a personal thing, I think. A personal energy, like not an at peace. Kind of the thing we were just talking about with Rich, where Rich does feel that way to me.
Yeah.
He just kind of feels okay. Like, he seems happy and
he
doesn't have a bad energy. No. Whereas, like, Gallagher's energy just seemed a little... And then you think about how big he was and... Yeah. I mean, yeah. I hate those people who say, like... you know, they just dismiss like Gallagher or dismiss Carrot Top's another one that gets it.
Yeah.
It's like not everything can be the style of comedy. You know, sometimes people just want to see a grown up man bounce on a huge couch.
Yeah, they want something goofy.
Yeah, they just kind of, you know, I mean, fucking, what's his name is really good at what he does.
Which one?
Carrot Top.
Yeah.
He's really good at what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nobody else making toilet seats or jokes or whatever. He brings the whole toilet seat out and he makes, all right. He requires props. It is what it is. I mean, is it a little bit of a crutch? I guess so. A little bit.
A little bit.
But the people don't know.
If it's people like a love guitar. It, then whatever.
Yeah.
It's a guitar, yeah.
It's like a good, you ever watch somebody who has a guitar tell those jokes without the guitar?
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's why you brought the guitar up. Because these jokes don't work.
Yeah.
They just don't work. And then you have the guitar, and then for some reason it works. It's because you're fucking hypnotizing them with like some guitar riff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they're just kind of into it. It's kind of almost antithetical to the point of comedy.
Yeah, they'd be screwed.
But you can't say comedy music's not a thing. No. You know,
I think Zach Galifianakis' special when he's playing the piano for half of it is some of the funniest shit ever.
Yeah,
but it's because of the piano, the way the music goes, you laugh at the
rhythm of it. Yeah. Yeah, it is a little bit of a crutch in some ways.
Right. But he can do comedy without.
But he's great alone. Yeah, also.
Yeah, he's
because there's
that
a lot
also,
of those guys. Like if Roddy Carrington shows up and his guitar is missing, it's like, well, show's canceled. I'm not gonna fucking rap for an hour. So.
Yeah, but even if it is the only thing that can do,
someone stole Roddy Carrington's
guitar.
He's like,
I can't do this now.
I can't sing about fat chicks and pussy.
Yeah,
in a cowboy hat without my guitar.
Yeah, I mean. Does it mean it's bad, though? I guess maybe to comics, but who the fuck cares about comics?
I mean, it's just all...
Nobody gives a shit what comics think ever.
Yeah.
Now, for some reason, comics think everyone gives a shit. Everyone's become like Mort Saul. Or like everyone's fucking like so aware of politics. Nobody gives a shit about what a comedian thinks. You remember when it was like there was like one political comedian?
And it was like a thing. You were just that.
You were that guy. Now it's like... Who isn't that? You know, at least on Facebook. I do it too. But that was always kind of my interest.
Your shtick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. In comedy clubs, I'm like, I don't want to talk about it right now. We're talking about politics every other second of the day. Can we just like laugh at it?
Yeah.
Something else.
I think people are just worn down. That's the Trump has been effective at just wearing people down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, he could like the news could be like, he just murdered 20 kids. He did it. We have video of him doing it. I think it would, he'd make it through the news cycle.
Yeah.
I think at this point he's done so much that people are just numb to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's really numbed everyone out. He's kind of succeeded in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine like 20 years ago there being a porn star. I mean, it's actually kind of funny when you think about it. Like, it is a known thing that he had an affair with a porn star.
Yeah.
Like, that is, he didn't dispute it, and everyone knows it's a thing, and he just fucking rolled right over it.
Yeah.
He just, that would have ruined... How many presidents have there been? However many presidents there have been minus him would have been ruined. Can you imagine if Abraham Lincoln, it just came out like he was banging a prostitute? I don't know if he would have made it.
No.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't.
It's just because he's entertaining.
And he exists. He's the, I think, equal but opposite reaction to extreme political correctness.
Mm-hmm.
So. 44. He, because the outrage machine is so prevalent and so consistent and so prolific that people have kind of become numb to that too.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of have defeated their own, they eat their own.
Yeah.
They eat their own purpose because they do it too much. So it's like, if you're outraged at everything, then you don't know what specifically to be outraged about anymore. Yeah. And so he just doesn't cow to it. And he's doing so many outrageous things. He's doing exactly what they do.
Is outrageous the only thing that works now? Do you have to be at a 10 all the time for anyone to listen?
I don't know what's going to come next, but I do know that he's doing so much outrageous shit,
mm-hmm.
and they get outraged over so much shit.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the equal but opposite to them. And so those two forces exist because the other one exists. Like, he only was elected president because of that.
Yeah.
If that wasn't there, if people weren't going like, you can't say this, or, you know, just like if people didn't get so far left, he would have never been elected. He would have never even got past he wouldn't have been nominated.
Yeah.
Because the first outrageous thing he would have said, they would have been, all the voters would have been like, fuck this guy. But the voters started to like him because they were so annoyed with the other side being like, you can't say this. They're like, nah, fuck you. We're going to vote for him out of spite. Because of how extreme you are.
Yeah.
There's no way in my mind Donald Trump would have been president if it wasn't for the far left. He's a reaction to it.
Yeah.
He's a reaction to that whole culture of like, you know, you're being Islamophobic. You're going like, I just brought up that, you know, this one particular story, it was a Muslim guy who blew up some kids. That's Islamophobic. You're like, nah, I'm just reading the story, you know?
Just word for word.
And so that's you know, that's just kind of what the culture became. You say anything that's fucking, you know,
yeah,
you know, that's real or nuanced. So that's where we are. That's the scary part about it is I don't know if it'll ever come back to the middle because it's like a, you got to admit, it's exciting.
It is, but I think after a while, people are just going to be so tired that they're like, give us a boring guy.
So what do you think's next? Do you think it's going to go back to swing all the way
not
back?
Yet.
No, we're going to have like The Rock or some kind of like clown or a wig.
I can't see it going back to normal after this.
I think in a little bit, but not yet.
It's like doing anal and then asking to kiss, you know? It's like, Trump is anal. I mean, he
is for sure
raw
anal.
Dog anal.
Mm.
You know, it's like I know in comedy sets, it's like one of the 101s of comedy is like, you know, it's like your opening joke is like a fucking is like an anal sex joke.
It's all downhill.
You can't go after that. So let me tell you about what happened to me in the dentist's office in the waiting room.
Yeah.
They've been desensitized. They don't care. It's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to save your dirty shit for the end.
Cats are weird.
Yeah. I mean, Trump's going dirty early now. He's like a host who's opening a showcase show and he's just with fucking dicks and fucking asses and saying fucking shit a lot.
So when it's not that bad, we don't even notice.
And Nate Bargatze's on first. It's like, it's going to take a couple minutes for people to get into his, hey guys, I'm cleany, clean, clean.
Unreal.
Yeah.
They were throwing rocks.
They what?
They were throwing stones. I'm just playing.
Say again?
Making fun of comics now. I'm just fucking around. Sorry.
You said it so fast.
I mean, he's taking swings.
Yeah.
I didn't even hear it though.
It wasn't a joke.
No, but you backed off. You got too scared.
Now we're just throwing rocks. But I didn't want to make it seem
like
we're
talking shit. You got to be confident with what you were coming. What'd you say?
So now we're just throwing rocks. But
now we're throwing rocks. Nate's a good friend.
I know. I'm playing around.
Yeah, so. Oh, okay.
But
oh my God.
I didn't even throw that many rocks. I just said, I'm cleany, clean, clean, clean.
And this is the new YKWD. Yeah. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah. So, like, how do you, like, the changes in the crew and everything, you've seen it all, like evolve, hopefully.
I like how you try to bring it back to that.
Yeah.
So let's go back to what you...
So tell us about what you think of us.
Yeah. I think you guys are great. Yeah. Who's my favorite?
I swear to God, if you don't say me.
You're great, especially since you covered for me once.
Which time?
Just because, like, Bobby's thing, you just don't want to deal with it. He's such a close friend of mine. It was the one time where I didn't tell you I was running late or something. It happened a long ago that he's not going to listen to this whole thing. Not even a chance he's going to hear this. But you covered me for me. He was like, did he let you know he was running late? And you went, uh-huh. He went, uh-huh. And you just covered for me, yeah. And that's how I knew you were trustworthy.
Okay.
And that's why I'm going to tell you fucking some crimes.
Like right now.
Yeah. If I do crimes, mic. I'm letting you know. Yeah, because you're trustworthy.
And then the cops are going to get me in a room, and I'm going to be like, did. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that? You don't remember it, right?
I don't know.
It means you're a good person.
I really do.
I know it sounds fucked up because you did a bad thing, but it just... It showed that you were like, you know what? It means you're a realistic person. You live in reality. You're like, okay. All right, look, this is just going to make everything good. So I'm going to do a little white lie here because I know Bobby's a little fucking crazy.
You just got to keep the peace.
You kept the peace.
Got to keep the peace.
And he looked at you and went, did he tell you? And you went, I remember the way you went, uh-huh, too, because it was so funny. Because like if he was really paying attention or wanted, he could have kept digging because you were like, uh-huh. It was like a, yeah.
That's called pure fear. Yeah. That's what that is.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, but of course, now Mike's new, right? So I can't say you're one of my favorites yet. You could become. I have more of a history here.
I've been here longer than her.
Have you really?
Yeah. But I've been gone for two episodes that you were here for.
You've been here. How's that possible?
I started a week.
I've been on like tons of episodes with you.
Yeah.
And
there was two episodes you were on that I wasn't here for.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah.
That's
so you've actually been longer?
One week. Yeah.
Wow. And of course, well, Jihadi with a Body is
my
history.
That's
Hyenas.
True.
Yeah. He's part of the podcast. So
he's in it.
Yeah. So I mean, our podcast, History Hyenas, which is on Riotcast, is doing mm-hmm. so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
History Hyenas is, I'm not plugging it right now.
It's one of the funniest fucking, and I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, yeah. but I listen to yours. It is so fucking funny.
Thank you. We have good chemistry, no? We have a good time.
It's, there's yeah. good chemistry, and you guys have your own slang. It's just yeah. there's a lot of rapport.
Thank you.
It's also funny to make fun of history.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Got to do more of those webisodes.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
My fiance says we should stop farting into the mics, though.
She's I wrong. Mean,
what do you think? As a girl, is it, she says it's just gross.
It's...
When she told me that, I said no.
I don't listen to every pod, so I don't yeah. know.
Have you heard a fart on there?
I don't think I've heard a fart
okay.
on there.
Okay. Yeah, they happen a lot. Wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say? Yeah,
I was
Mike.
Here for four
Do you
farts.
Stand and fart episode? Into the mic?
We go, like, we just take the mics and put them right to our asshole.
Because you could sense that it's coming.
That's why we yeah. lice all these every show.
Chris started it where he just had to fart, and because Chris just lives outside of the rules of society.
Sure, sure, sure.
He
sure,
just
sure.
does. So he was the first one, and he just kept farting into the mic.
So what you're saying is. He'll you go like this. Into this.
He'll go like that, and he'll just fart into it.
Okay, okay.
I have not farted into that one because I sit there, correct?
Yeah, you right? sit over
there. Yeah, I sit over there.
Okay, so I'm...
You're safe.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know...
I fart all day, I don't care, as long as it's not into this mic.
I mean, I can't tell you 100% that that Zach Isis doesn't take that mic and stick it in his own ass. I can't say that. I mean, I'm not ubiquitous. I'm not Jesus. I don't know what else happens to these mics, but I can't tell you that that's the mic
that
I fart in. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I would assume horrible things have happened in here.
I wouldn't say any of this yeah. is clean by yeah. any means.
I just don't know what's going on up here.
That's the real reason.
Whose
you can't
house
eat up
is
here?
This? Huh?
That's the real reason you can't eat up here because yeah. this place is filthy.
Yeah.
You will get sick.
Why? How did that become such a thing that you couldn't up here? Like, why is it such a violent thing?
Because the building's old.
Well, someone did eat up here and they left all their dishes and hid them. And then people who live, like, own this place found the dishes under the bed in there. And that became a thing.
But. So it was from the top.
It was from before us.
Yeah. But it was from the complaint came from
yeah.
the top. Yeah. That makes sense. Who did that?
I'm not going to say. We'll tell you after the show.
All right.
I don't even remember.
Well, it was before us. That's why.
Yeah.
See, now I trust you. I like, you're not a fucking snitch. You're like, I'll tell you off the show. You know what I mean? And I know Zach Isis isn't a snitch.
No.
You know?
We're not snitches.
No. At what point do you feel like your loyalty ends? You know what I mean? Give me a scenario. Let's say like, yeah, let me ask you a question. I'll give you a scenario.
Okay.
You've been friends with someone a long time, right? Probably some girl in Jersey.
Hell yeah.
You know, you grew up in Jersey, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So you guys hung out together. You talked fucking boys together. You guys.
Talk boys
you
together.
You talked boys together when you were young. You guys grew up quick now, right? Are you in your 20s?
I'm 24.
Yeah. So you guys are like. Yeah, you were probably like an adult at 13, right? You had seen...
Younger.
Yeah. Kids now, they fucking got the internet. It's like, there's no mystery.
We didn't have the internet, though.
You didn't have the internet?
No, we didn't do internet. We didn't really have...
No, you grew up with the internet.
No, we had Game Boys. We were like the last Game Boy generation.
No, you were... That means you were born in 94.
Uh-huh.
So when you were...
Internet in like middle school.
No, I had the internet in like 95, 96.
So yeah, but the internet was like a ubiquitous thing in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
So you kind of grew up with... Yeah. Maybe you don't understand how much I didn't grow up with the internet.
Maybe.
My first year of college, there was like one kid I can remember with a computer. So I'm just giving away my age right there. Yeah. But I remember having to go to a computer lab to like... I had a word processor. I had one of those fucking brothers that had the little screen.
2-inch screen.
Yeah, I thought it was impressive because you could make a mistake and erase before it hit the page.
Amazing.
So that was big because you used to have to use whiteout. You don't even know what whiteout is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You do know what whiteout is.
100%.
Okay.
It's what they do to neighbors.
But you never had to use it.
No, yeah. We still had
Mikey's
checks.
Taking swings, though. Hold up. Can we just take... Mikey's taking cuts. It was another bad one, but it was a good attempt. He said whiteout. He says that's what they're doing in neighborhoods. That was a wide swing. That was like he had a blindfold on. It was like a blindfold on, and there was some like it was like a Silence of the Lambs. You know where he cuts the light out, and she has her gun out, and she's just like you just had a bat, and you were fucking swinging with that.
Pinata, eyes closed.
Pinata swinging out here.
Yeah, that was a wide cut. So
I had I had a weird childhood though. So
your dad's a rock star.
Kind of,
are you admitting?
Yeah, yeah, it's out.
Yeah. When I
Lewis
found that
outed
out,
me.
Yeah, when I found that out, I was like, holy shit.
How did you find that out?
Somebody told me, or did it happen on the cast? I don't remember. It might have happened naturally on the cast. I don't remember. But when I found out, that's like wild.
Yeah.
Because he's not like a, I don't want to hurt you. You know, I don't know who listens to this, but like, I don't want to say, what's like a band who only went like one, you know, a safe one. It may be a guy's dead. Give me one where a guy's dead so I can't offend anybody.
White Lion.
A one hit wonder?
There we go. He's not like, yeah, he's not like that. Or the guy who sung Train. Remember that? Not Train. Train's still going.
Train's kicking.
Yeah. What was that guy? Now a da 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 da. Runaway train never.
Oh, Soul Asylum.
Soul Asylum. Is that a safe one? They're not fucking still touring.
No, because he's dead.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
There it is.
Yeah, there it is. We found it. That didn't take. It's not like he's Soul Asylum.
No, no. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the other of the B girl. Sorry, that guy. But he's not touring. Fuck him.
Yeah. Whatever it is. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That was Soul Asylum. One song. I mean, it was a hot song. And it was everywhere. But it was like one song. It's not like your dad's that guy. It's like your dad could go sell out. Your dad is like iconic level.
Blind Melon.
Yeah. No, Blind Melon, no, that's not
the guy
Blind Melon.
That's the guy who died, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. No, Blind Melon's too big of a band.
No, they're dead. They had one song and they were gone.
Did they only have that?
Yeah, because he died of a heroin overdose.
Oh, okay. All right. But your dad's, do people know who your dad is? Has that come up? Or
yeah.
So,
like in comedy?
No, on this, these thousands of people listen to this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. So I can say.
I think Lewis found out through Reddit from this show.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Lewis. So your dad's in Bon Jovi?
That's good.
So, yeah, your dad's in fucking Bon Jovi.
It's crazy. I don't really talk about it that much.
Yeah. And he's been married to your mom for a while?
No, stepmom, but for stepmom. A while.
Yeah. Yeah, is it possible to be a rock star and not be divorced once?
No.
That's not possible. It's like your wife's going to be like, where are you going? He's like, I'm going to work. Like you grew up where your dad was like, I'm going to work. And your mom's probably like, when are you going to come home? And he's like, next year.
Probably a year.
Yeah, I'll be back next year. Who are you going to be with? Who are you hanging out with? Four of my best friends, lifelong friends, and everyone from the other sex who the only way I'm not going to fuck them is if I don't want to. Because, yeah, he's in Bon Jovi. And so, like, yeah, there's just, like, do you have to say, how little work do you think you have to do to fuck a chick? Do you mind if I go there? If
you're in a rock, I'm already fully here. In it.
That is so disrespectful. I'm like in the room and I'm like, do you mind if I come in? And I'm in your house and there's
you're
mud
in the bed.
Yeah, there's mud on my boots and I haven't even taken them off and I'm on a rug.
Mm.
Yeah, I apologize. But let me ask you guys' opinion. How little work do you think her pops had? Now I'm making it. I'm just going for it.
Or said like pops. So
little, yeah, like, not even her pop. Okay.
You had to show up.
That's Steven what? Tyler. How little work does any member of fucking Aerosmith have to do? How little? Like, do you think he even has to say hello? Or do you think he could just take his dick out and motion to it?
Now?
Like a Roman emperor.
Now or then?
In today's age.
Huh?
That wouldn't work in today's climate.
Yeah.
Actually, but I mean, Steven Tyler now,
I don't think
like
rock stars
lady,
have
so.
Ever had a problem with Me Too.
Yeah. Nobody would believe it. Be like, hey, I got Me Too by Steven Tyler. You're like, come on. Did ya? I mean, these guys get what I'm saying is the level of puss that they get is, I think, beyond athlete. It's beyond actor. Rock star puss is top level puss.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Derek Jeter level. Obviously, you look at what his pedigree is. I mean, so Derek Jeter's an exception where he did quality. I mean, he did quality. But these guys do quality and they do volume. I mean, they're like the Walmart of getting puss. I mean, these guys are like the Costco of pusses.
Costco pussy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you get comedians like a mom and pop shop. Maybe you get an actor who's got a well-established business. Athlete. Okay. Maybe a legendary pizza place. But Steven Tyler is the Costco of puss. He is the Amazon of puss. I mean, there's packages arriving at his door every fucking day. And they're being brought to him just like that. He doesn't have to lift a finger. He's got a full, whatever he wants, fucking to his house. He wants a new TV. It's getting brought in and being installed by somebody. Do you think he has girls to unzip his pants for the other girl?
Back then he did.
Yeah. Like, it could be that crazy.
This is so good to hear about my father's.
It's not like I'm talking to you and you're like 46 and you're still almost a child.
I'm pretty much a child.
You're 24.
The crazy shit that I've seen on the internet my entire life.
Yeah.
I'm just like my dad in assless chaps when I'm 16. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. It's so cool though. I mean, it is, it's different. Like most people's dads go to work and stuff. Your dad's a rock star.
It's pretty wild. Yeah.
It's almost like your dad's Jesus. That would almost be like if you imagine Jesus, and Jesus didn't even draw numbers like Bon Jovi. I mean, if your dad was Jesus, you'd be like, hey, he's, you know, a couple dudes follow him around.
He needs to keep touring.
He'd have to die to get big, and then he's not really a good dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't get the full effect. You got the, if Jesus's kid, if Jesus had a kid, Jesus would see the effect of his father after his father, but he would see it and he'd be like, wow, this is getting pretty big.
And his friends would text pictures of Jesus in the 80s to him. Yeah. And you just kind of like arrive on your phone and you're like.
It's always a thing when your friends found out that your dad was in Bon Jovi.
Well, I lived in the same town my whole life, so everyone knew.
Right.
So I didn't really get
Jersey
that.
Legends. It's like Bruce Springsteen, Bon Jovi. Yeah. But the one saving grace is you could hang out with black dudes. If you wanted to get away from it all, you could go hang out with black dudes.
Don't give a fuck.
And they would not know who your pops is.
No.
You could be like, it could come up and be like, yo, babe, mom, what's your parents do? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Where you from? You from Jersey? You got fat. You know, they like. First of all, they just make every girl feel hot. It just is what it is. No matter what your body is like, they're just into it. Black dudes are just not that picky like white dudes. And so first of all, like, yo, he'd be hitting on you. Your mom make you feel real sexy. And then you. Like, look, you know, you just comfortably real down to earth. You know, what's your pops do? You come from, you know what I mean? Because, like, you know, and you'd be like, yeah, my dad's in Bon Jovi. And he'd be like, oh, that's cool. Your dad runs a company for anchovies. He would have no idea who Bon Jovi. So that's always a thing you could do.
That's true.
But you couldn't go anywhere else. Wherever there's white people, they're going to know who your pops is.
It's true.
Is there a white person who does not know? It's like, is there a more famous white band than Bon Jovi? Is there a band that's covered more in bars in Jersey with girls with hairsprayed hair still?
In Jersey, no.
Than Bon Jovi. You ever go to one of those? See a cover band hit the Bon Jovi? And the girls with the jeans that are too high and the hair is still
light
big?
Light wash, huge hair.
Yeah, doing Bon Jovi. Is there a white person who does not know who Bon Jovi is? That would be a good thing to find out. I don't think Google has an answer.
No, they wouldn't.
I would be hard-pressed to say that anyone over 40 for sure.
Oh, for sure.
I'm going for sure now.
Yeah.
I'm going for sure. Because I know there might be an occasional 30, especially
I mean,
this
there's
crowd.
There's some 22-year-olds out, you go outside and they're going to be like, Bon who? But that's because they don't know shit.
Yeah, they'll try not to know who
exactly.
He is because
they're doing it on purpose.
They objectified women. And like, if you watch some of their videos, there was girls with flashing tests and that's not cool. That's patriarchal. But anyone over 40 guaranteed knows who your dad is.
Yeah.
Right. That's crazy. I mean, who's your dad?
He was in Los Lobos. No. You don't even know who that is.
No, but you're taking cuts, and yeah. I appreciate it. We're going to name this Taking Cuts, or are we going to name it the saddest episode ever with Rich Voss, where we talked about...
This might have been the saddest episode ever.
Really, well, picked up once he left, though. Let's be honest.
Actually, I think the saddest episode was the one Scopo hosted a couple of years ago.
But... Scopo hosted one?
Oh, my God. That was a bad episode.
He was like, hey, guys, how you doing? People who were listening probably thought this was like a mistake. They were going like, is this a joke? When's Bobby going to say, just kidding?
Yeah.
Anyway, I can't wait to read about this on Reddit. That's always my favorite.
Cannot wait to read the comments.
Oh, it's the best. You know, Bobby does try to tell me that an overwhelming majority of the messages about me are positive. I've never seen them. I just see the 3 to 5 fucking psychos who love to just let everybody know. I can't wait to read the comment section. And my favorites are, no Bobby, I'll skip this one.
Skip.
Oh, Giannis. Ah, fucking liberal cuck. Fucking loved when Dave Smith really tore him a new asshole on gun control on a fucking... Get a fucking life. All right? Get a fucking life. I'm a happy kid. I'm a cute kid. All right? I'm well-liked. So you go fuck yourself. All right. Here's the podcast you need to be listening to. History Hyenas. All right. History Hyenas. From what I understand, I think we're the biggest podcast on the network now. Is that what it is? Why not?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Go with it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
That doesn't have a fake character on it.
That doesn't have a fake character on it. Right. Exactly. We're the only one that where our real names and we are ourselves on it. So check out History Hyenas. It's me and Chris DiStefano, and it's going great. It's it keeps growing.
It's an awesome podcast.
Thank you, Mike.
Sitting in on it.
Thank you.
It was awesome.
And of course, Zach Isis, mm-hmm. you guys, if you listen to it, you know, Jihadi with a Body is on our podcast. So listen to History Hyenas. This has been You Know What Dude with Cuckface, Giannis Pappas. Listen to History Hyenas. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
You've been listening to the YKWD podcast. Thanks for listening. Now go back to your shitty jobs.
Shitty jobs.
Check out riotcast.com for all of the best podcasts on the internet. And they are all free.
And they are all free.